on America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned. You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. Well, we are in the middle of primary season in America. It's very, very exciting. We're here in primary season in the great state of Texas. I have two guests joining me today, not in a row, who are both running for Texas State House. So I'm going to turn to them in just a moment. So I'll tease my topics in first five and come back to them later. Topics for today, the Democrats' fundamental destruction of America. I have a lot to say about that. We'll be talking with Debbie Duke, a Texas State House candidate for House District 56, and with Wayne Richard, who is a House District candidate for House District 66. And if I get to these topics, I want to talk about the Courage to Surrender America Act. It's a little play on words, I will tell you. And finally, if I even have time for this, Nikki Haley's mission and Laura Trump as RNC vice chair. I'll tell you why these stories matter to you. So my first five today, I just called it Democrats' fundamental destruction of America. I'm going to run through some things happening later in the show, happening at this time under the Biden administration. But I'm going to remind people back when Barack Obama was about to be elected, one of his last, I think it was his last campaign rally, he made the comment, essentially, we're at the doorstep or the beginning of the fundamental transformation of America. I want to remind you who his vice presidential choice was. And at the time when Barack Obama was going to become president, you know, people thought he chose Joe Biden because, you know, he has a more familiar face, he gives some credibility, maybe some, you know, kind of comfort to voters a little bit nervous about this extreme newcomer heading into the White House. But Joe Biden, even at that time, had been, you know, I've told the story many times on the show, I won't go into detail except to say, he went from being truly a Delaware City Council member to the U.S. Senate, no steps in between, no, you know, moving to county council, state rep, state senate, governor. He went from a nothing burger in some city council job in Delaware to the United States Senate because he was funded, paid for, campaigned by, organized by the communist Russians, the organization that came to him and said, wouldn't you like to be a U.S. senator? Which he said, sure, I'll take that. That organization was determined, their entire mission was to destroy America's military. They were Chinese communist funded. The purpose of the whole thing was to get someone in the Senate who would argue against funding our military, who would support Russia, who would fight against America developing more nuclear weapons. That's how we had Joe Biden. That's who Obama chose. So where we are now in 2024, I'll be saying this from now, probably until Election Day this year in the fall. We need to understand what this election is all about, is to fight back against the Democrats' fundamental destruction of America at every level of government, and to look at candidates closely, not just, I heard this person's name, maybe he's okay, maybe she's okay, to look at what do they stand for, what do they believe in, will they stand up against the radical left at this time in America? Because if we don't learn that lesson to stand up against the left's fundamental destruction of America, we are at the point it just could be too late. I'll tell you more detail later in the show, but that, my very fine friends, is today's first five. So we have joining us via Skype in just a moment here, you'll see her, a woman named Debbie, D-E-V-V-I-E, Duke. It's a cool name, by the way. Debbie Duke, she is running for Texas State House, District 56. Her campaign is going gangbusters, but she would be a new member of the Texas State House. Met her through Republican women organizations here in Texas. And I wanted to ask her to come on and tell us what she's doing, why she's running, and how the campaign is going. So let's welcome to the show, Debbie Duke. Hi, Debbie.
Thank you. Hi.
Great to see you. I'm so glad you could join me. And you know, you may know I've been talking to a lot of candidates on this show in the last few weeks who are running for Texas State House. And you are one of the kind of large number, actually, of people, new candidates running for Texas State House. You're running in House District 56. And I know in introducing, I want to mention your background. You know, you had actually been already an activist for a long time. You weren't someone who just woke up one day and decided, I think I'll run for Texas State House. You've been an activist, and you'd actually been active in the Texas Federation of Republican Women, a leader of Republican Women's Clubs. You've been a leader out there. But what caused you to make the jump from being a really successful activist with Republican Women to running for Texas State House?
Well, I think the major thing is that when you're an activist, I think it's a process of you getting busy and more involved and more informed. And we had Representative Doc Anderson here in our county for 20 years, and he decided to retire this year. And so I had I had somebody jump in the race here in the county that's not a conservative. I kind of waited just a little bit to see if we could get somebody to run that was a conservative that would represent our county. And that didn't happen. So I could not let it go unchallenged, being the patriot and an activist at heart that I am. And so I am running for HC 56 as Doc retires.
And actually, Doc Anderson, the incumbent for 20 years, he endorsed you. Isn't that correct?
He did. Yes, he did.
That's pretty great. Plus, you have a number of great endorsements. I want to touch on a couple of issues, but you have a number of great endorsements. If you want to share those, I think that's to help our listeners understand what you're all about.
Okay. First, I have Attorney General Ken Paxton, Trump's favorite attorney general. I have his endorsement, Doc Anderson's endorsement, and then to, I think I want people to have a good picture of the grassroots. So I have We the People, Joanne Fleming's group, Grassroots America. I've got Texas Eagle Forum. So you're going to see a lot of Texas Right to Life. We're going to see a lot of those type of groups that have gotten behind me. And then Texas for Vaccine Choice. You know, I've done a lot of work in the mandate. True Texas Project. I've got an A rating from Gunners of America, as well as the highest rating from the NRA. Colonel Al West. We've got a pretty good list going on here. McLennan County Young Republicans. So, but it's all grassroots driven.
It certainly is. And I want to commend that, because this is a time, you know, I've been using the expression in my show, there's a patriot movement afoot in America. There's this feeling that, you know, politics have gone on, I guess, ever since we had our first elections for Congress and state house and around the country. But there's a patriot movement. People are concerned much more than just I root for the party with an R or someone with a D by their name. They're concerned about the direction of America. In my view, they're concerned about how radical the American left is and how aggressive, how demanding they are of their policies being followed, and really demanding that people stop advocating things that they don't want. There's a growing censorship around our country. So I'm getting at saying, I think these endorsements really matter more than usual, because these are groups who actually think about issues a lot, and they interview people, and they ask penetrating questions. I know, because I'm going through my campaign for RNC committee woman. They ask penetrating questions, and I love it. But so to have these endorsements, it signals a lot of substance, and I think it matters that people understand that about you.
Yes.
And I commend you for them.
Thank you.
So tell me when you're when you win, like your top three or four priorities when you get to the Texas State House.
I think that it's, of course, going to be the border with the state of the country that we're in, what we can do legislative, if anything. I think everything's really in place for us to do what we need to do. We just need enforcement mechanisms to push that on. But it's also going to be, you know, my big topic when I was in the state Republican Executive Committee, I chaired the election integrity committee. For all 254 counties for the Republican Party. And if our elections are not solid and good, and we don't trust our elections so that we get out and vote by the masses, then we've lost our voice. So elections are still going to be important to me as a legislator.
Actually, that was another thing I wanted to mention in your resume. The State Republican Executive Committee, which I think almost every state has something in the ballpark of this. It's a committee of people here in Texas. They're represented in a senatorial district. But people who know you and your district choose you to represent them within your senatorial district. And SREC has been a very powerful force for conservative solutions, for helping the Republican Party, supporting them in all sorts of ways. I mean, you really have the kind of full-scale resume that anyone should want in this race. SREC history, Republican Women's Club, McLennan. Okay. And yeah. Then also your work with Texas Federation of Republican Women, the broad swath of endorsement. So it just sounds like you're just on fire. Tell me quickly how your campaign's going in terms of door knocking. I assume that's a big thing you're doing right now, big project.
It is. We have a terrific ground game going. We probably have about 50 active volunteers, and they are out block walking daily. So we've already hit over 11,000 doors. In our county, normally we have 22,000 that vote in the primary. So we have great coverage on that. The ground game's going great, and I'm just really proud and humbled by the volunteers that I've worked with for years that have come alongside me to see me all the way through this. I think that just speaks volumes to their character and the work that we've done together for the last decade. Actually, we have people coming from other counties that have made a stop in because they've seen my work in Austin, and they're just so appreciative of work across the state networking as SREC doing election integrity. They'll stop in and block walk for an afternoon and then go on to another race, and it's really been kind of like a statewide effort that is really, really heartening to see. It gives faith in the American people. I know that we can come out and vote in mass, and we can take this country back.
What a great thought. What a great thought. Take this country back. So we have up on your screen for our listeners. This is such a great candidate. I encourage you to go to her website. It's Duke. For the digit for DukeForTexas.com. At that website, you can read more about her. I did a very cursory introduction because I wanted to give time for the substance of this interview. But DukeForTexas.com, you can read about her. You can make donations there. As I'm discovering my own campaign, and every candidate I have on the show mentions, it costs money to run a campaign. It's surprising. I think if you're not involved politically, you think, well, I don't know. I mean, they run, somebody votes, the end. But to really run an effective campaign, if you care that you win and you care that you're message gets out there and you're properly represented, it takes money. So if you are looking for candidates to consider supporting and endorsing and donating to, look at Debbie Duke's campaign, DukeForTexas.com, the digit four. Check her out. I really encourage you to do that. And Debbie Duke, I know campaign life is busy. So I thank you for taking time to join me today.
Thank you, Debbie.
Great to see you. Thanks for joining me. Okay. Very much. That's great. Okay. So, I told you I'm trying to fit in a couple of interviews today. And Debbie Duke, she's just awesome. I mean, honestly, I've met her through SREC, the Republican Women's Group. So and she's just on fire. And a lot of what's happening in Texas, as you've heard from other candidates who've joined me on the show at this primary season, there's a lot of upset with the Texas legislature over some votes. I mean, there's a standing issue we've talked about many times. We'll probably talk about it with our next guest, where we have the Texas State House, even though the voters of Texas keep giving the legislature a Republican majority, we somehow end up with a House, Speaker of the House who is chosen by the Democrats, and takes only a small number of Republicans to get picked off, and then all of a sudden the person who has an R by their name and is serving as Speaker of the House is actually working mostly at the behest of the Democrats. And so it affects committee assignments, committee chairmanships, what bills get sent to what committee. If you want to kill a bill, the Speaker knows where to send it to a committee that won't move it along. It's an immensely powerful position. That, among other things that occurred in the Texas legislature, has caused in this session, I think in this cycle, more challengers to incumbent Republican office holders than ever in the past. So the next person joining us is also, he is running for Texas State House. It's House District 66. He's in studio with us today, Wayne Richard, and I'm just going to bring him on. We'll talk to him while he's running. So welcome to the show, Wayne Richard.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Well, thank you for coming in. You know, as I was just saying, because you were sitting here during the Debbie interview, it's busy to run a campaign. I mean, if you just run and don't do anything, I guess it's not busy. But when you're really, really in the fight to win, it's a busy, busy thing.
I started my own company in my dining room, and I was just telling this story to someone just recently that, you know, I worked 24/7 when I started my company a little over 30 years ago and built a multi-million dollar company. And I actually find that running for a campaign like this is more exhausting and intellectually challenging than starting a technology company, which I was very successful. So we're hoping that we'll be successful in this race also.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I did meant to ask Debbie, and I forgot, tell us where House District 66 is, the basic parameters, physical parameters.
Yeah, interesting, because they just redistricted 66 last session. So it now encompasses from Plano north to Salina, parallel along the toll road to Coit, and then some areas it juts out from the Coit area. So it's a large, narrow strip very north from the Plano area.
You're almost in mine. I'm not. We live actually in Salina, or outside of Salina, Weston, but we're in a different district anyway. So you would almost be my rep. Okay. So this campaign's actually, when did you get in this race? I don't even know. Is it a few months ago? When did you get in this race?
It was about 2.5 months ago. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know there are anyway, a lot of new people. In fact, I had someone else on the show was talking about more challenges to incumbent party chairs ever in this cycle, as well as to Texas State Rep. So what is driving you to run for HD 66? What are the issues that are driving you?
So it's interesting. I ran for this seat 14 years ago, mm-hmm. and I lost as a grassroots Tea Party candidate. That's my entry into politics.
Okay.
And it was really a new beginning for me. I really didn't understand how politics worked. I didn't understand the election process. I lost to Van Taylor. And okay. one of the things I learned was the importance of money. You were mentioned money earlier, how important it is. And Van spent like $1.5 million, and we were grassroots and spent about $20,000.
Yep.
But we ran a phenomenal campaign. I began to understand the importance of grassroots in the organization. And we've carried that. So since I ran then, I had a conservative radio show in North Texas. Did that for a while. And then I was asked to be a spokesman for the Trump campaign. So I've been doing that for about the last 7 years. Several months ago, I received a phone call from a couple of individuals in Collin County, GOP actually, and they asked me if I'd consider running for office. And I'm retired, and I had no inclination to run for office again. You know, I'm enjoying my retirement. But they said, well, there's a couple of things you need to think about. And I started to do some research on our rep, and he's a friend of mine. So it made it challenging for me to make the decision to run. But as I did my research, I found there were several key votes that I was not happy with. And then the scenario developed with the impeachment of Ken Paxton. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, he's my friend. So I said, you know what, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, both the House and my rep.
The House rep, the current incumbent is your
friend. House rep. Because we kept hearing, oh, there's so much that you don't know about. There's so much that you don't know. And I thought, well, maybe there is. You know, I know Ken Paxton, but maybe there is more. So when they decided to do the vote in 3 days to impeach, which I consider this to be the most important vote probably in his political career, and he went along with the impeachment, I thought, well, I'll still give them the benefit of the doubt. They're down there. They know more than I do. When it got to the Senate, and within minutes, it became apparent there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever. When it got to the point, they said, you went to the FBI. Did you have any evidence? No, we had no evidence.
Right.
That's when I made the determination that it's time to clean house down there in Austin. I mean, everyone is following the speaker's lead. He said, don't worry about it. Just trust me. Go home. Do this for 3 days and have a great Memorial Day weekend. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, I've taken more time to make minor decisions as a businessman than they took to impeach the Attorney General. And I consider Ken Paxton to be the most conservative Attorney General the state of Texas has ever had. It's probably the most conservative we have in the United States. He's not only battling for Texas, he's battling for our country. Many of the lawsuits, 30 or so, maybe more, against the Biden administration, and he wins. He's filing lawsuits against Pfizer. I mean, this guy is a warrior to keep our freedom and our national identity in place. And my rep, our current rep, voted to impeach that individual, and I decided it's time for a change.
I like that. You know, I was taking notes. I love taking notes. Anyway, while you're talking, but, you know, it is an interesting thing because in your particular case, I know the incumbent, and I had almost sounds like a very similar conversation. I was calling ahead of time saying, vote no, vote no, vote no, because and you know, got the same kind of, well, you know, if you knew what I knew. Yeah. And so you think, well, okay, you do want to be fair and listen. But it was so revealing to Texas voters around the whole state to see that the House, I mean, they did it. It was almost like dark of night kind of impeachment. It wasn't, I mean, recently I was with Ken Paxton, our Attorney General Ken Paxton, at something else. And he was saying, you know, he didn't even know about it ahead of time. It wasn't like they gave him notice or prepare, here's our accusations, you know, you're going to have nothing. There was no due process, no notice. It was kind of like, and it gets me around to my point I want to make on this in this particular campaign. It gets down to the question of who sways your vote. Who, when you're down there, are you listening to your constituents? Are you listening to the speaker and his team? And who's swaying how you see things? Because many people being challenged who are incumbent Texas State House members were swayed, I believe, by the speaker. By the speaker saying, you know, don't worry, follow this, we got it all set. And the notion of, you know, being swayed by your beliefs, your principles, and also your larger perception of what, and my expression always is, what time it is in America, what's going on in this country. Why would someone want to drive out the most effective attorney general in the country? He really is. He's a relentless warrior. I'm not going to make you answer, speculate why those people would want to remove him, but it should cause people to ask of their own state rep, why would you vote to, why? And now that there's no evidence, what caused this? So that's really what drove you to decide to run that vote.
Yes, but the component that you're identifying here is so important. The grassroots, how do we feel? You know, I'm running as a grassroots candidate. Everyone I talked to, they reached out to my rep, our current rep, just like you did, saying, vote no, don't vote for this. And yet they don't listen to us anymore. And that's the biggest frustration that I find all the constituents have in my district. They feel as though their voice means nothing. It's frustrating. They voted for him 8 years ago, he voted correct, and over the years he's just gone more and more to the left and started following what the establishment wants him to do. And people are fed up, they're tired. They want a representative that'll be down there, that'll listen to them and vote and fight for their morals and their values. And we don't have that, not just by rep in this district, but throughout Texas. Texas is getting to go blue because they keep voting for basically a Democrat as the Speaker of the House. We need to change that. And even though he's been censured, our reps here in Collin County are still saying, well, we'll vote for him as our Speaker of the House. It's the antithesis of what we want. We want to have a conservative as a speaker that will bring conservative legislation to the floor, get it passed, and then push to the Senate so we start to have true conservative representation here in Texas again, and quit this slide more and more to the left to make us more blue.
So well said. And actually, it's kind of what's happening with other factors involved at the federal level, too. We just slide to the blue because we're not alert. One thing that does happen with this is the incumbent, the current Speaker of the House in Texas, is that there's just a massive pile of money. And so he can give that out to people. If you're running as a candidate and he says, yeah, well, I'm really going to back you, and you're going to end up getting, you know, whatever amount of money he sends you, you feel beholden. I mean, if you win your race and you got a bunch of money from the speaker, and then you get into the Texas House, you're going to end up feeling like you got to vote how the speaker tells you, because after all, he funded you.
You know, that's a very good point. And he actually addressed that with a constituent once. He said, well, you know, I have to take money from the establishment because I'm not getting any money from my constituents. Why is that? So he has all the money he needs to run this campaign, 15 mailers already. Before Christmas, we had like 5 or 6 mailers about this campaign. My money is coming from constituents. And I'm running a pretty strong financial campaign. My wife and I put a big chunk of money in there to show that we're legitimate, you know, because the press looks at that kind of, how's your war chest?
Sure.
But the amount of money that's coming in from individuals that I have never met, I don't know these people. They come in and they make major donations to our campaign, which makes us effective. And it also makes me realize that we're on the right track. The other thing that makes me think, people say, well, how is your campaign going, Wayne? I think it's going very well. for two reasons. Number one, he hit me with an attack piece already. twice now, you know, referring to me as associated with Nazis. He knows my father fought in World War II against the Nazis. So that's ridiculous,
Wait,
number one.
Your opponent put a mailer out or a statement out claiming essentially you're associated with the Nazis.
Yes, that I was a Hitler defender, a Holocaust denier. I mean, basically, he's a Nazi. It backfired against him because my name recognition is strong in the district
for
the various reasons. People knew, wait, Richard is not a Nazi. This guy's a conservative patriot. But he put that out there. I thought, that's an act of desperation. The second reason is Governor Abbott is coming to our area again a second time to get out the vote rally. The governor, from what I understand, doesn't love to travel. He came here for a rally already, and he's coming back weeks later because I think it's telling the polls are showing that they're not doing very well and they need a boost. So that tells me that we're doing very well as a campaign at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw the governor's coming, and maybe this is the same rally to which you're referring, but there's one, he was coming for three people who all have very strong primary challengers. Anyway, yeah, our current governor is very much supporting the establishment, kind of likes to set up as it is, likes the speaker, the way all those things work, he kind of likes it as it is. Okay, so again, can you leave his chyron up? I'm sorry, I want to make sure that's up for our listeners, and mainly I just want to be sure, so people can go to your campaign, WayneRichardForTexas.com, WayneRichardForTexas.com, and same thing I was saying a moment ago, campaigns cost money, and you're hearing right now, the money is not coming in from, I'm going to guess the speaker is not donating to your campaign. This is correct?
No. Neither is the governor.
Yeah. So no speaker money. So it's grassroots. And you know, I agree that notion of you send a signal about you, your family, how much you're serious about this to put your own donation in. But it just costs money to run an effective campaign. I mean, you can, you know, it just costs money to end up doing how it has to be done.
It does. I mean, every mailer is $15,000. $15,000 for every text blast we put out is a little over $2,000. You know, he's putting out 15 mailers already, and we're just now getting to early voting. So the money that he has is, he'll never tap out. We have to be cautious how we're doing it. So I tell people, one of the main things that we can do as grassroots is yard signs. You know, people know your neighbor is normally involved. The neighbor down the street, they know what's happening.
Yes.
When they put a yard sign out for a particular candidate, they go, oh, that's who I need to vote for. So we can't put out 100 mailers because we just don't have that money. But we can get grassroots people and supporters and volunteers to put yard signs out and block walk for us. And that's how we're getting our message across, not through mailers, but through grassroots action.
I love that. And I will say that yard sign thing, no truer words. I used to play a lot of tennis. I'm like at league tennis. And honestly, not only in my own team, but even other teams, they would know, oh, she's a political one. Ask her.
Right.
You know, they would ask, right. You know, who are you supporting? What's the story in this? Explain this issue to me. And people, if they like their neighbors, they trust them. They're like, oh, this is great. I saw someone has a sign up. So signs are huge to put in your yard. They really, really are. So one last thing, I looked at your website, I don't recall. So do you have endorsements that you felt were really strong and helpful?
Yeah, there's so many. I'd take up the rest of your show. But two key ones were Grassroots America and Texas Eagle Forum. You know, and they don't just endorse because they know the name. Like with Grassroots America, I was on a Zoom call with them for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And they asked me some of the most challenging, specific questions.
Yeah.
And they were the type of encompassing questions that you would have a very good understanding as to where is this man's heart? What does he actually believe as far as what's happening from a national perspective and also from a Texas perspective? And I wanted them to understand that I know that if Texas goes Democrat, our country is done.
Right.
We have got to maintain Texas and what we stand for as a republic.
We absolutely do. We need to retain the Republican majority, House and Senate, but actually elect people who will stand for the Republican agenda, stand for what we really stand for, and not capitulate for whatever reasons they have. So, yeah, they are, by the way, Grassroots America, We the People, that group. You know, I noticed several races. I get their emails, they're announcing new endorsements, and they had, I don't remember what the it was county party chair someplace, where they had a like an X, no endorsement. I mean, they are strong enough and committed to their principles. If they talk to every single candidate and they just can't find one they like, they just say no endorsement. I mean, they don't take the lesser of two evil kind of mentality at
right.
all.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. So it's a great, so congratulations on that endorsement.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so my friends, I told you one more time with the chyron, if you would. Emilio's He's okay. The reason I wanted up, I want you to get that. If you're physically watching this, it's WayneRichardForTexas.com. Go to that website, read more about him, about the campaign. They always, as you're hearing, they need donations, they need block walkers. This is kind of the real work of politics. You might think it's all these fancy debates you see in forums on stage, and they do matter. The forums matter and speeches matter, but when you get down to how many people does it take to turn a seat, a Texas State House seat, it takes block walkers, it takes door knocking, it takes grassroots activism. And this is a grassroots campaign that will really, it would be a major signal to the establishment in this state if they felt like they could lose a seat like this. So it's just a great campaign to know about. So I know you're a busy guy. Wayne Richard, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having
thank
me.
For
I appreciate that.
Joining
have a
me.
Wonderful day.
Great to have you. Okay. So very fine friends. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to turn back to my first five topic because I didn't want to make these two candidates wait. So I want Dems Fundamental Destruction of America. I love thinking of little plays on words because it was Barack Obama's fundamental transformation of America. I'm just going to tell you three things that came from the news cycle today that when I talk about what Democrats do, I urge you over and over. Don't think of it as one issue and Republicans think one thing, Democrats think it's not. That's not what it is. It is a leftist. Every issue is connected. It's all a part of the grander agenda, which Barack Obama announced to the world in 2008, absolute transformation of America, away from America as founded, away from a country rooted in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, and our fundamental belief of the right of the individual to live and pursue life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness as they choose, to a government-controlled country, number one, to where socialism, Marxism makes its way in, and cultural Marxism makes its way in, and socialist policies become the norm in economics, and the broader agenda that Obama and Biden share, which was is transferring sovereignty away from America over to a more globalist, you know, whether you call it World Economic Forum, UN, it's a globalist mentality. This is gripping the world. This is invading the world. This whole globalist mindset that to have people like Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum be in charge and really have America be subservient. A great specific example, of course, is was now coming up in May, the finalization of the America's surrender of our sovereignty to the World Health Organization on policies relating to any kind of pandemic and vaccines and limiting your freedom. It is what they're surrendering to the World Health Organization is not just the capacity to gather data and announce, hey, you know, we think there's a pandemic. It's not that. It's deeper and bigger. The actual language they're talking about using, it is where they can decide not only we think there's a pandemic, but the remedy is you must wear a mask. The remedy is you must stay home. The remedy is you must not travel. And you must prove that you've been vaccinated. All those kind of policies that conservatives fought, that is the agenda of the World Health Organization. And I didn't mean to get off on this topic, but since I'm on it, one more point about the actual language of World Health Organization, the plan that is in play and will be voted on in May in Washington, is the idea that America will surrender its sovereignty in making policy, not just on pandemics, but on any issues that touch on the life, safety, and health of animals, plants, and humans, which brings in, of course, climate change. And if you do not underestimate what this agenda is coming out of the left. So when I say every race matters, it matters because every time you put a true conservative, an intelligent, well-informed person in office, you're fighting back against this leftist agenda. So three quick things that I meant to say in the first five, but I saved till now. One is the Border Patrol Union sends a letter to Biden. It's a beautiful thing. They sent a letter, they publish it in some magazine they have. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you what they wrote. This is the Border Patrol Union. These are, you know, unions are supposed to be the Democrats people. They published this yesterday. Dear Joe, you own this catastrophic disaster at the border, lock, stock, and barrel. You created it. You nursed it along. You encouraged it. You facilitated it. It's all yours. Don't run from it now like a coward. Signed, the BP agents you've thrown under the bus. I'm just going to tell you, in normal America, with an actual media that was not just beholden to the left, you have the Border Patrol
saying what everyone who lives in Texas and all the other border states can tell you. The border's overrun. There's no border enforcement. They're publishing a letter. In normal America, you would have Congress the next day, even with a two-person Republican majority, impeaching this president. We have a policy of abandoning the border. If you don't follow any other policy on the planet Earth, absorb what the Border Patrol is trying. They're screaming for attention from the American public and from politicians who care, especially Republicans in Washington. We don't have a border. Our country's overrun. There's no other evidence you need that we are watching the fundamental destruction of America at the hands of the left. But I'm going to tell you another one anyway. So you may recall back when Biden issued a executive order, and I actually think I even went and found it and attached it again. Yeah, I did. Okay. So Biden issued an executive order to, and it was always, you know, they do these things in ways that sound like they're just trying to help. He issued an executive order essentially saying, you know, we need to help Americans vote. So he issued an order to every single federal agency that they must prioritize registering voters and pushing get out the vote. Now, if you're at the Food and Drug Administration or any of the other Department of Labor, you've actually got jobs. You have something to do. I mean, there are too many people in government, but still you have a job. But this came out early in the Biden administration, essentially co-opting the federal bureaucracy funded by your tax dollars. Don't ever forget that. They don't have any money. They have money because they take your money. So funded by the federal government, they ended up with this order from Obama and from Biden. And so this most recent, there was a deep dive and Tom Fitton, who's just a great guy, who runs Judicial Watch, they basically came up with a bunch of data because they send in, you know, they try to get documents. They ended up with being able to expose the American people what the Department of Agriculture, the USDA, is doing, not like helping farmers and agriculture and crops and food safety, nothing like that. They're spending money and time registering voters. Now, if they were registering voters, you know, at gun shows, at churches, at places where conservatives go, then you might say, well, at least it's fair. It's not. They're going out of their way, out of their minds, trying to get more people who have no capacity at all, no interest at all in voting, getting them signed up, getting them to vote. This is part, again, of the fundamental destruction of America. This is your tax dollars at the bidding of this, he who occupies the White House, Biden, using federal dollars, federal agency dollars, getting people to pay up, to dedicate their resources to getting Democrats registered to vote and then to vote. We are watching the fundamental destruction of America. So there's a great piece. I think I linked it on our website. Anyway, great piece very quickly. Someone's writing it, what the Republicans should talk about for every Republican campaign, at least at federal level. We should talk about the three I's, immigration, inflation, and international peace through American strength. I can't do more about that now, but what the left is doing to this country, we are watching the fundamental destruction of America. And if we don't really fight back now, we're going to wake up one day and it won't be there anymore. Okay, so I may get to my topics. This is amazing. So I call this topic Courage to Surrender, America Act. And this is not really what it's called. It's just like a play on words. Anyway, it's actually called the Courage to Serve. It is a federal bill being backed by one Republican who I used to really, I think we donated to him actually, John James out of Michigan. Anyway, he's backing this, John James, along with a Democrat, so it's bipartisan. It's a bill to essentially enable illegal immigrants, people who broke the law to come to this country, who hide from our authorities because they have no right to be here, to allow them to become members of the U.S. military. And you know, there's certain criteria that go along with it, but eventually if you serve, you get to become a citizen. The fact that you broke into America, didn't use the legal system we have, we bring 1 million immigrants to America a year, legally. America brings in over 1 million every year. This is what we have as our immigration system. Instead, what these people are saying is, you know, let's just go ahead and let them come in. We're going to end up with, end up with the people coming in here anyway, so we might as well give them a path to citizenship. And let me just tell you, there was a good tweet, and I meant to tweet out someone tweeted about it, and there were a whole list of comments, and they were brilliant comments. Sometimes the comments on Twitter are more entertaining than the posts, but they were talking about all the reasons this could go wrong. Let me just name a few. Number one, the people they're saying they will bring in are people who decided they would break the law. They wouldn't use our legal system. They didn't respect America's laws. They broke the laws to get here. Number two, many people crossing a southern border are people who do not love America. They're not coming here because they love America and freedom, the land of opportunity. They have all sorts of nefarious motives. A national security expert we had on the show a couple of months ago was talking about the number of people directly tied to the Chinese Communist Party. This is at least 10,000 military-age men crossing America's southern border, undeterred because we have no border, who are members of the CCP. Those people would apparently be eligible to join our military. What could go wrong? People who hate America, people who have allegiance to the CCP, but, you know, these guys are coming up with these ideas about, well, let's let them come in, you know, it's all going to work fine. And so there's that. There's also the camaraderie issue and, you know, the whole idea of America. People who join the military, they do it because they love America. This is why people join. They want to serve. They want to defend this country. So then you have a bunch of people, illegal immigrants, who really have no right to be here, who knows what they think about America. The camaraderie is destroyed, and the whole sense of unity you're trying to build is absolutely destroyed. But the real problem with this, I could run through a bunch of other ones, but the real problem with this is this. It is treating a symptom instead of the problem. The reason the military is way, way down in recruitment, the reason they cannot get average red-blooded Americans wanting to join the military, the numbers are way off, is because the military has gone so woke. You had during the Obama era, the literal, you know, just destruction of the higher ranks of America's military, taking out the patriots, the ones who love America, and in their place, allowing to rise through the ranks, are left-wingers who really think it's swell that our military spends training on pronoun correction and transgender operations and all sorts of lunacy about, you know, a whole array of woke issues. If that kind of military, if those are in charge of a military, why would some red-blooded, love America young person say, yeah, I think I'll join the military? They're not solving the problem, or they are realizing that the problem has been created by the left, by the anti-American left. We have a military falling apart and not being able to get people to join. So the answer, instead of fixing the policies and getting rid of all the woke lunacy in charge of the military, instead, let people come in who are illegal immigrants with no right to be here. And frankly, that many of them who may mean us harm. I'm just honest. I used to really like this guy, John James. And, you know, he is a vet. And, he makes these really lovely statements. In fact, I think it's in this. He had some lovely statement about, you know, land of immigrants, and immigrants are wonderful. And you know, there's a... Oh, that's really interesting. John James is actually saying the reason we have to do this is because we have military recruitment challenges. So, and he says this is a serious threat to national security. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. You don't fix the problem. I mean, you need to fix the problem and not, you know, come up with a solution that doesn't actually fix the problem at all. So there are a bunch of people coming out against it. But of course, there's a New York Democrat who's backing it with him. I think, yeah, Pat Ryan, a Democrat from New York, and John James is a Republican from Michigan, introducing the Courage to Serve Act. I'm calling it Courage to Surrender. Honestly, we're just surrendering to the lunacy of the left. Okay, my last topic, I'm going to do very quickly. I can't believe I got these all in today. I must be talking even faster than usual. But my last topic I want to hit is Nikki Haley's mission and Laura Trump as RNC vice chair. So, you all know I'm running for RNC committeewoman from the great state of Texas. The website for that, for everyone who is interested in seeing, and you can endorse there, you can go there. If you can put that up, Emilio, can you put that? Okay, so this show is AmericaCanWeTalk.org, but we also have a website for our... for my campaign. Is Debbie G for RNC, and there is at the bottom of the screen, Debbie, D-B-B-I-E-G, the digit for RNC.com. Check out that website. I put tons of endorsements, tons of what I think about everything, you know, what I've done, why I think I'm the right person for this job. I'd love to have you read it. You can endorse from anywhere in America, although most of my endorsements, almost all of them, are from Texas. But we have some pretty stellar endorsements. Recently got Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, along with a whole bunch of leaders in Texas. So it's a very strong campaign. In any case, so I did this. I called this segment about Nikki Haley's mission and Laura Trump. So Donald Trump recently said, who is going to win the primary, and assuming he's alive, he'll win the primary, he'll be our candidate. But he said he would like to make a change at the top of the RNC, and they're actually having a meeting. The RNC is meeting in March, I think it is, early March, to elect a new head of the, because Ronna McDaniel gave notice that she's stepping down. So Donald Trump named who he'd like to have as the head of the RNC, which is a guy, I forgot his first name, his last name is Whatley. I think it's Mike Whatley. He's a North Carolina GOP chair. That is who Trump would like to have head the RNC. I've looked a little bit about him. I'll talk about him another day. But he, Donald Trump, said, how about Laura Trump as the vice chair of the RNC? And I have to tell you, I know some people have that kind of knee jerk. Well, that's becoming too cozy. Isn't that kind of, you know, all in the family? I got to tell you, it's brilliant. I may play for you next week. Charlie Kirk interviewed her, Laura Trump, on his show. The reason to have Laura Trump in a role like that at the RNC is because she actually believes in the America First agenda, which is what the Republican voters are trying to say over and over by supporting Donald Trump. They're trying to say, we don't love every tweet Trump ever did. We don't love every word and deed of his entire life. We love that he loves America. We love that he's fighting to preserve America. The Make America Great Again, the America First agenda, this is what the people are voting for. Donald Trump is the vehicle that brings that. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The America First agenda will long survive after Trump is out of office. Even if he wins again, he serves 4 years. The America First, a renewal of patriotism for America, love of America, that will be in place in this country for decades, and I hope, frankly, forever. It should always have been our premise, America First, and believing in America's greatness, and putting policies in place, foreign and domestic, that protect America. So I'm yay on Laura Trump as RNC vice chair. It's a beautiful idea. And last thing I was going to hit is on Nikki Haley's mission. So I was at a function last night, so I missed. Nikki Haley was apparently on television, and she was crying about something. I don't know what she was crying about, but you know, she's getting emotional. But she had a statement out that she is going to stay in this race. She will stay in this race until the American people tell her to leave. And I'm thinking, aren't they telling you already? She can't win the primary in the state where she was governor. She can't win that. How much more the American people have to say to tell her no? Her mailers go out, and in fact, her campaign spokesman says, you know, we're kind of looking for Democrat crossovers and independents. She's admitting the Republicans don't want her. They've told her 1,000 ways, we don't want you. You're not our choice. Go away. And she won't. She stays in the race. So I do want to just touch briefly on my question, why? Why do you think I'm looking for something I got to tell you if I can on my phone. Why would someone stay in? There we go. Why would someone stay in? If they can't win a primary to save their life, they can't win like one. I will tell you, I think it's actually not just ego. She's getting a lot of money. She may be getting wealthier than ever before. She has extremely large dollar donors backing her. So she's accumulating personal wealth. And, you know, that's, I guess everyone likes wealth, but that's not a reason to stay in. I think it might be driving her a little bit. But I actually think she has become so sinister in her impact on the Trump campaign, on the Republican voter. Whatever Republican mindset she ever had, she has bought in to the anti-American left. And I mean, maybe you think what I'm saying is a PGO. You know, I should interrupt myself. PGO was an expression my best friend from law school used to call things PGOs. It's a PGO, which was a pointed glimpse into the obvious. So it's a very funny expression. So this may be a PGO. Maybe you're thinking, well, everyone knows Nikki Haley has really gone over to the dark side. But I don't think so. There are people who are supporting her or who at least won't write her off. You know, she's just got a different viewpoint, or she doesn't like Trump's, you know, policy on X, or she doesn't. And they think, well, she's really a Republican. No. In my view, my opinion, she has gone to the dark side. She has bought in hook, line, and sinker to what the left is doing to this country. And when you step back from just a particular race, even the presidential race, when you step back from that and recognize where we are in America, what time it is in America, what the left is doing to this country, when you know that, when you can see Joe Biden has abandoned the southern border, destroying our military, selling off our sovereignty to the World Health Organization and to World Economic Forum and all the other things, when he's bringing into being, he's trying to bring in central bank digital currency to take away your economic freedom, when his climate policies are nothing short of just life destroying, freedom destroying, and you keep running as a Republican, and you can see the people want Trump, it doesn't add up. She has gone to the dark side. She is apparently okay with everything the Democrats are doing, as long as she gets, you know, another headline, another interview, another place in the media for a while. But, you know, she's actually doing harm to the Republican Party. And the reason is because she is using Republican and she's working in all these swing states trying to bring people around. She is sending out mailers. She's sending out, and she's getting people who she believes will cross over and vote for her in primaries. Well, you know what that does to campaigns down the line? When candidates try to get a list, who are the Republican voters in this precinct, in this county, in this congressional district? All these people who voted for Nikki Haley are going to be in that pile of voters. So you're going to cause, for a decade or more, candidates to be sending out flyers, spending money, as we were just hearing about earlier on the show, spending money on flyers, all sorts of other garbage, because they get names of people, oh yeah, this is a Republican primary voter, and it's not. It's a Democrat or an independent who got duped by Nikki Haley. That is what's happening among the many, many harms she is doing to this country. So I tell you, Nikki Haley, it is, there is nothing, I mean, people try to say, well, she's allowed to stay in. Yeah, she is allowed. It's not like against the law, but you have to change your perception of what is driving her. It's not goodness, it's not patriotism, it's not honesty, it's not belief in America. It is a nefarious, perhaps insane disdain for Donald Trump. I don't know, but a look at me, I have power, I'm getting money, I'm getting headlines. There's something truly wrong with her motives at this point. And the best thing that would happen is in every single remaining primary, were she to get zero votes, maybe she'd finally go home. I used to like her. In fact, I talked about her. I actually met her, but anyway, I talked to her about her in a positive way when she was serving as UN ambassador. But honest to goodness, whatever's happened to her, she's harming the party. And at this time in American history, at this point in American history, given how radically left the Democrats are, the danger they're doing to this country, what she is doing to the Republican Party process here in 2024 is simply, it is nefarious, it's unacceptable, and I'd even use the word, it is evil. Okay, make one last quick pitch and I'll turn to why it matters to you. I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this show in some other way than on my website, please go to all the social media places we are, or please know where we are. You can watch the show at my website, americacanwetalk.org. You can also watch on Twitter at @DebbieCanWeTalk or in every other social media outlet out there, including Rumble. Go to all of them except YouTube. We don't have to talk about that again, but I'm not on YouTube, can't be on YouTube, but I'm everywhere else. And I urge you, every place you go, and especially if you're watching on Facebook, please take a moment to like and share my website, my Facebook, and in fact, for my campaign, Debbie G for RNC. Again, debbiegforrnc.com. Go to that Facebook page, like it, comment, share it. This is the kind of online grassroots way to grow this campaign. So I'd love your support. I'd love you to like my Facebook page for the show, americacanwetalk.org. Please like the Facebook page for my RNC campaign, debbiegforrnc.com. And every place else on social media, Rumble, every place else, get a little bit active. You can still be at home, sitting at your desk, drinking coffee, and wearing your pajamas or sweatshirt suit and do a lot of good, a lot of help for this, for everything I'm doing. So I appreciate your support. So now I'm ready to tell you why the stories we talked about today matter to you. So we start our show talking about fundamental destruction of America. Americans are beginning to fully understand not one element of the Biden agenda is a result of incompetence or mistake. It is the agenda for fundamental transformation, fundamental destruction of one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. The American people are increasingly enraged. Border Patrol agents are desperately pleading for help for law and order. Mayorkas is barely impeached despite willful abandonment of border enforcement. Biden administration initiatives for agency-driven voter registration is intended to grow the leftist base using your tax dollars. And I didn't even go back again today. We talked about it last week. The Tucker Carlson interview with Mike Benz cannot urge you strongly enough. We posted it. Find it yourself. Read it or listen to it. Tucker Carlson said, most important interview he's ever done. Carlson Benz interview exposes the purposefulness of this coup against we the people. What Benz is in short saying is that the American government in the form of the military, DOD, FBI, and CIA, and other alphabet agencies in the federal government are actually treating the American people in the same way they used to treat foreign enemies when they were trying to take down administrations in foreign countries and put in someone friendly to America. That's what they're doing to America right now. The censoring that we saw on the Twitter files when we finally had Twitter come into new hands and we saw the Twitter file thing happen, we actually ended up realizing that the federal government, Department of Homeland Security, was controlling what Twitter put out. What Mike Benz is saying in this interview, it's the entire federal apparatus, and not just on narrow issues like Hunter Biden. It's on COVID, it's on border security, on every big issue, on election integrity. The federal government's been manipulating. We've kind of been living in a matrix. If you read what, and listen to what he's saying, it's amazing. Okay, so going on, sorry, Biden was Obama's VP because Biden was and is a radical leftist funded by communists. Americans must find their internal fortitude and resolve. They're being abused by their own government, and they must insist that it stop. Okay, the Courage to Surrender Act is really called the Courage to Serve, I think. Anyway, Courage to Surrender Act, proposal to allow illegal immigrants to enlist in the military is pure poison. Illegal immigrants' first act in the USA is to break the law and then take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. This can lead to illegals as U.S. soldiers willing to fire on U.S. citizens to enforce government dictates because no ties to, no love for, or sense of kinship with the American people. Is that the intent? Biden agenda has deliberately driven conservative Christian patriots out of the military and now proposes Courage to Serve as a solution to the problem they created intentionally. Solving U.S. military recruitment requires new leadership that inspires American patriots to serve. America First leadership is the only answer. And finally, Nikki Haley's mission and Lara Trump as RNC chair. Nikki Haley is a pure ruling class machine politician. Her purpose is to slow Trump's official nomination, mucking up campaign funding for the presidential race. The GOP base doesn't want her or like her and has said so decisively in two votes already, with a third due in South Carolina February 24th. She is powerfully contributing to the GOP's base discuss with the GOP RNC. Lara Trump was named to emerge soon as the new RNC co-chair, refreshing candor and keep it simple approach. RNC has a long way to go to really connect with and reflect GOP base, but Lara Trump will help. The American people want a MAGA agenda. Existing ruling class is against the American people. This must change in 2024. And that, my very fine friends, is America Can We Talk for today. I'm Debbie Georgiadis. The show is America Can We Talk. You can find it online at AmericaCanWeTalk.org. I do this show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
Can We Talk? Truth about America.